It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, 11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with us. It's 96.5 The Fan. Drew's producing the show, and he tells us Vinny Pasquantino going to call in around 11:15 today. Royals first baseman. Big series. Every series is big at this point. They're in Cincinnati, taking on the Reds. Michael Lorenzen on the bump. Of course, you'll hear the game right here on 96.5 The Fan tonight. Vern's on deck show a little bit later on this afternoon as they take on Cincinnati. So we're looking forward to Vinny in just a little bit. We know the preseason game tomorrow against the Lions for Kansas City, and we also know that the injury of Hollywood Brown is still up in the air in terms of how many games he could end up missing. But you think this is a blessing in disguise?
I think it can be. I think there's a limit of the number of games before I would say that it's not. But there's two ways in which this can really benefit the team in the long run. And I know that we're worried about this year and the three-peat and a million other things, but franchises are playing these things out in the long haul, and there's both a long-term single-season effect and a long-term franchise effect from this injury. One, from the short-term franchise effect, you're going to find out how close Xavier Worthy is right away. Those additional snaps in the early part of the season is what you got to learn about, like FAU last year or those things. Last year, Rashee Rice didn't get on the field because people were hurt. He didn't get on the field because they were trying out all the guys they had already decided were ahead of him on the depth chart. And had an injury happen and Rashee Rice been forced to action, you'd have found out a lot sooner that that was the guy you have to throw to for a majority of the year. So I think there's an immediate chance that if Hollywood Brown misses, I'm going to say, let's call it a month for the sake of the argument, because I think that's kind of the sweet spot. If he misses a month, then you get 4 weeks of actual snaps for Xavier Worthy to find out exactly where he is and how much you can trust him going forward the rest of the season. But also, if Hollywood Brown can't get on the field, the whole contract year things undefeated starts to get washed away. If he can only play a certain number of games and can't stay on the field healthy again, well, then he might be right back with you on a one-year deal next year trying to get himself paid. There is a chance in which Hollywood, you get to keep Hollywood a second year on low dollar amount, like low-ish dollar amount. He obviously got paid a decent amount of money. And Xavier Worthy also gets the experience you might like him to have long before December or January.
I think I buy the Worthy angle more than I buy the, oh, now they might have a better chance at keeping him next year. Because if that happens, that means he's missing way more than four games. I'm with you on, hey, Worthy could get more of an opportunity, even though I still think week one, Justin Watson's snaps is the individual who will have the biggest benefit of that.
I think they'll look at Worthy more, you know?
Yeah, they'll probably want to do that, especially once we know who ultimately makes the wide receiver room. But I think Mecole Hardman and Justin Watson, just because of trust and knowing where to be, for sure, week one, I still think those are the guys that will get the bigger increase. Worthy was always going to play week one and was always going to be a factor in some regard, but maybe it increases a little bit. The contract part, I don't know if I can get there with you on the contract part, just because for it to really impact him being in Kansas City another year to that extent where it's like, oh, I can't get anything better anywhere else, I think he would have to miss 7-8-plus games. And that would be a terrible thing for the three-peat if that meant the back end of the season or if that meant the playoffs or something.
It would only mean a terrible thing for the three-peat is if they let those 7 or 8 games turn into a lot of losses. If not, it'd have no impact because you would get Xavier Worthy up to speed long before the postseason and then get to roll Hollywood Brown right back in. Like, it could hurt them, and it hurts them if it damages their playoff standing so terribly that they can't recover from it for the final 8 games. I have a hard time thinking that that would be the case under any circumstances for the Chiefs. And in that situation, again, that situation, you get a lot of Xavier Worthy. The interesting part about, you're right about Justin Watson getting majority of the snaps, but the absence of Hollywood Brown leaves a vacuum in the deep passing game. As it sits right now, they can run Hollywood Brown deep or Xavier Worthy deep, or sometimes both. But they actually do have 2 deep threats right now when both are healthy. At the moment, the only guy they're going to be sending regularly down the field 60 yards is Xavier Worthy. We know they'll use Justin Watson in that role sometimes. It's not that they never threw it to him deep. But as far as the true deep threats go, Xavier Worthy's number one by a mile at the moment. I think there's a chance you're going to really get a taste of it in these first couple of weeks. I still think Hollywood Brown's going to miss 2 or 3 weeks of the regular season, but I also still think it's way too early because those injuries heal so differently.
the perspective you're giving on Worthy's increase is where the betting markets have gone to. I don't know if you paid attention recently. I checked yesterday on FanDuel Rookie of the Year. So, of course, Caleb Williams is the favorite. And Jaden Daniels in DC has the second best odds. He's like plus 550 or so. Do you know who suddenly has some of the best odds to win Rookie of the Year once you take Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels out of the mix?
Xavier Worthy?
He's bumped all the way up to 14 to 1. He has the fifth best odds.
Wow.
I completely disagree with it, by the way.
That's too strong. I'm not that strong.
I think that's the nationally, people view his role increasing way more than what I ultimately think it's going to be initially for this team. So I like, if you're asking, is 14 to 1 good enough value to... No, I didn't like it when it was 25 to 1.
Who else is ahead of him?
So Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Marvin Harrison Jr., and one other player that I don't have the top of my head. So he's got...
Like Roman Dunsey or something?
No, Dunsey's odds are terrible because the thought is if he puts up big numbers, that's Caleb Williams'
sure.
number. So yeah, Dunsey is 40 to 1. He's got way worse odds because if
Marvin Harrison Jr., they're not going to give Kyler Murray Rookie of the Year.
Right, right.
So in quarterbacks, look, Puka had a great year and he still couldn't win Rookie of the Year. So it's
he
a quarterback.
1,400 yards.
It's a quarterback award. Another reason why I just don't think you should waste your money on Xavier Worthy for Rookie of the Year. Just, it doesn't make any sense.
I'll be honest. This feels like one of those, like, it's like, well, you're not getting good value. It's good value if it's the winner. We talked about this with Patrick Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP and $1 million. I was like, well, yeah. I'm not getting good value on Mahomes to win Super Bowl MVP. I'm like, yes, you are. Because he's going to win it. That's why how I feel about Caleb Williams. I'm not betting anyone to win Rookie of the Year except Caleb damn Williams. I don't care what the value is, because the value is in the fact he's winning the award. I don't think that there's somebody else winning the award. Barring an injury, that man's winning it.
No, I agree in the Rookie of the Year market, but that's also why I was surprised to see Worthy
move
up.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I would never bet him to win Rookie of the Year. If you were forcing me to bet on somebody else, I'd bet on Jaden Daniels. It'd be Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. To me, those are the only two players that can win Rookie of the Year. J.J. McCarthy's done for the season.
I'm going to bet Joe Milton.
Drake May, I know last night had a good sequence. This is on the Patriots. He's not putting up big enough numbers. Doesn't have enough weapons. And then further down the board, I know Drew's guy, Bo Nix. He's not winning Rookie of the Year, but I'll tell you.
He might not even start.
No, he's not.
And I would tell you this, I would still actually put money on him before Xavier Worthy, just because quarterbacks are the only position that can win Rookie of the Year in the NFL.
And just like anything else, it's a narrative award. He rolled in week two and all of a sudden looked like the best rookie. He'd win it easily. I just don't think that's going to be the case. We talk about, like, I understand the idea of getting value in a bet and all those things are incredibly important. When it comes to awards that I am just convinced are going, because like 90% of the time, Rookie of the Year is going to a quarterback anyway. So let's just start there.
Yeah, someone on the text line said, look what happened with Rashee Rice. He was an afterthought, and then by the end of the season, so who knows? Yeah, if we're saying, like, production, sure. But Rookie of the Year, Rashee Rice was never in the conversation. Again, Puka had a historically great rookie season as a wide receiver and still couldn't win it.
Yeah.
It still went to C.J. Stroud, who had a
deservedly
historical
won
year himself.
Yeah.
But quarterbacks always have a leg up. Not that I'm wishing this, but for a wide receiver to win Rookie of the Year this year, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels would both have to be out for the season.
Or really stink. Worse than you would imagine.
Yeah, I mean.
Or okay.
The scenario, I can't even, other than injury. Like, Caleb Williams, you could say, has a bad rookie year. What's a bad rookie year, though?
20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and 3,800 yards?
Still, a wide receiver still not beating that.
I think they would if they had Puka's year. Like, it takes
Puka's
both. It takes an incredibly average quarterback year at rookie and an exceptional year. But he can't finish with 950 yards and win Rookie of the Year. He's got to finish with, like, 13, 14,
yeah, how many was the numbers again?
1450 or something.
He had 1486 and six touchdowns. Xavier Worthy would have to, theoretically, he would have to have 1,200 yards and at least 10 touchdowns.
Now, I think if it was an average year of quarterback play at rookie, and Puka would have won the award, he happened to go against the quarterback who had the single best rookie season ever. But that's the thing. If the quarterback has the better season, they're still going to win it. If all things are created equal, you still lose the award.
We also think that this is, on paper, a better rookie class to begin with. So, like, last year was Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, really, if we're being honest about
Young was awful.
With that. And Young was terrible. This year, like, you can see a path where Jaden Daniels could have a really good rookie year. He's got some weapons there. We know about the weapons Caleb Williams has in Chicago. You know, Drake May, I just don't see it in his rookie season for the reasons we mentioned earlier. But there's Bo Nix, I'm just not sold on him to begin with. But when you look
Plus
at the
Plus, he doesn't
the
market, have the weapons in Denver anyways like that, yeah.
But yeah, Worthy moved way up the board, man.
Interesting.
So people saw that injury and they were like, here he comes.
would have to have 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns in order for him to even be in the conversation.
And again, Caleb Williams, and they would all have to be average.
Yeah.
Like, just like.
And that's why, again, I don't think he, don't waste your money. Please. Please don't do that.
If you're doing it, put it on a bigger long shot. Like, get better. This is what we're talking about.
Long shot quarterback.
Get better value. Like, seriously. Put it on something else. Or put it on, like, you know, every once in a while, like, if you think there's a running back out there getting ready to have an Adrian Peterson year. Like, if you're that guy, fine. Like, last year, if you were just going to say, screw it, I'm putting on Bijan. Now, you shouldn't have done that because Arthur Smith existed. But, you know, if you're going to do it, earn the long shot. Don't put it on the fifth best.
And he was a top five pick or whatever. You know, it's just that running back just doesn't exist in this year's rookie class.
No.
You know, it's just much different vibe and feeling. But anyway, Xavier Worthy could have an opportunity tomorrow in the preseason game that you're going to hear right here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports, an opportunity against the Lions. We're expected to be joined by Vinny Pasquantino in just a couple of minutes as the Royals get set to take on the Reds. But yesterday on The Drive, Mayor Q, Quentin Lucas, was on with CDOT and Rob. They were talking about that report from the Kansas City Star suggesting that there's a new site downtown that the Royals are looking at near Crown Center, right just north of Crown Center, just to the, what would that be, east of Union Station, Washington Park. And that there would maybe not need a public vote to make that happen, that they could lean into more of a direct project of entertainment district, if you will, that we saw on the Kansas side with the Star Bond District. Maybe Missouri and the city could implement something similar. Listen to what the mayor had to say about them possibly not needing the public's vote.
The short answer is yes. There will be another way for this to get funded. I think the way that it gets funded is something that's going to be based more on how do you actually build a stadium on revenues from people who are using the stadium, rather than something that looks as broad-based, as county-wide, as jurisdiction-wide as perhaps we've used before. I think when you look at the stadium deals that are happening all around the country, in very few places, I think Oklahoma City was one example, but very few places have a jurisdiction-wide, just 1 cent, 3/8 cent sales tax. And so while that conversation may proceed at Jackson County, and I appreciate it doing so, I told you before the vote back in April and after the vote, Kansas City has the most robust tools of any local government jurisdiction in this two-state region, and I would say in probably several states around us. We will play in this conversation about what we do with the future of baseball and football, but certainly as to baseball, where they're looking to play in a new venue, that venue doesn't have to be owned necessarily by the county, that venue doesn't have to be owned necessarily by almost any institution. The city is ready, willing, and able to build some good tools. That's part of our conversations ongoing. I think we'll be very fair to the taxpayers. We'll have a very good conversation. So this isn't to avoid them. This is just to say, you know what, Quentin and CDOT have been talking about this for a long time. It's time for us to come to some solutions and, you know, get something on the table that I think can work for everybody.
So we've been wondering what's the move for the city? What's the move for them to potentially keep the Royals? And this is your answer, even if we don't know for sure the site. The answer is this. This is the funding mechanism that the city and the mayor's office believes they can move forward with, knowing that we also don't know the dollar amount or anything. They believe they can have the revenues from the stadium pay for the entire project, most of the project.
It absolutely is, in a way, circumventing the voters, because you tried to go to them first. It went,
of course,
horribly, and then you moved on. So it's absolutely
that. Because
they
know, Cody, if it goes to a public vote, it's not passing.
But I don't think it's wrong in saying, hey, well, we were trying to have Jackson County pay for it all, and we heard that you don't want to do that, and now you're saying we want anybody who visits the district to pay for it, and that seems like the more fair way to go about it. I actually don't hate the logic. It's pretty strong. It doesn't fundamentally change the who pays for what end of the argument, but still, I'm fine with it.
We'll talk more on the stadium front a little bit later on as to the future of the Royals and the Chiefs in Kansas City, whether it's Missouri or the Kansas side. But let's talk about the Royals, who are right there in a pennant chase, who are in Cincinnati right now taking on the Reds. And I don't know if are we introducing him officially as our VNFL insider today or as the Royals first baseman, Vinny Pasquantino. Either way, Vinny, great to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, hey, thanks. What is going on with the stadium? Are we getting a new one or what?
To be determined.
I think eventually. I mean, I just don't know where it'll be, if it'll be in Missouri or Kansas or downtown or not downtown. But yes, eventually you will probably play in a new stadium, Vinny.
Gotcha. Okay, I saw some stuff online yesterday. I wasn't sure what was going on. So, but yeah, hey, I'm the Royals first baseman right now. That's what you can introduce me as. And we can handle the football stuff in the offseason, you know.
As someone who does play baseball all across all across the country, how much do you like downtown baseball, out of curiosity? We're both very much love going to downtown baseball stadiums. Do you like downtown baseball?
Personally, I do. Yeah. I think it's I think it's cool to see the cities, like how they, you know, like, for instance, we got to Cincinnati on Wednesday night, and we went to dinner, and it was kind of overlooking the stadium. So it was kind of cool to see just from an outsider's perspective when the fireworks would go off and guys would hit home runs, and like when the end of the game and the fireworks and the lights and everything. Like, it was just cool, you know, you're just sitting at dinner watching that happen. But, yeah, I think downtown ballparks are cool, but I don't have an endorsement one way or the other for what we do. I love where we play.
You're in,
I'm right in the middle there.
You're in Cincy, so have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have before, but I can't. It was a few years ago. I don't really remember anything, like, special or awful about it. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, cool.
Didn't have a strong opinion one way or the other. That's fair.
Yeah. No.
When you look at where you guys are in the pennant race, Vinny, it is hard because fans want to live or die by baseball. I assume that you guys take that with a grain of salt, whether fans are mad about a two-game streak that doesn't seem to go your way or two games in a row that do. You must understand that it's good that the fans are that invested, right?
Yeah, it's great that the fans are that invested. Sometimes if you just head onto Twitter, which is tough to do after a loss, you know, you think the season's over. But then you go out after a win and we've won the World Series. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can't make everybody happy no matter what you do. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people invested with what we're doing here with the Royals. That includes the people that lean more negative. That includes the people that lean more positive. And you got to do what you got to do. I'm a fan of sports teams as well. I totally get it. You have no control over what happens in the games. And the best way to, you know, feel invested is to talk about it. And we appreciate that. So I know people have their opinions, but at the end of the day, like, we're excited with where we're at. We're excited to keep moving forward with this team, and we've got a big three-game set in Cincinnati here, and then we're back home, and we're excited about it.
This is probably maybe it seems like a small thing or something that isn't discussed a lot, but this is your first full season getting to play everyday baseball, Vinny, where, like, the shoulder stuff didn't flare up or anything like that. Does it feel different for you to get to play every day? Does it make the game easier, any of that stuff?
I think it goes in a multitude of different directions. Knowing how my body feels now versus how it felt in May, you know, June, different things like that. Seeing how the league adjusts to me, how I adjust to the league over one true full season. So, you know, it's definitely a different perspective. It's a perspective that I'm looking forward to hopefully having for a while, not just this year. Yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, it's definitely changed the way that I need to prepare, because 162 is a different beast than 72 or 61, whatever I've played in the past. So it's something that that my goal going into the season, I think I said it to you guys, was to be available for 162. And, you know, through 100 and however many games that we've played, that's so far been the reality of it. And I'm looking forward to you know, continuing that trend as we head towards the end of the year.
We're talking to Vinny Pasquantino here on 96.5 The Fan. When you go on the road, or if you're at home, no matter who you're playing, do you sense that these teams you go up against, whether it's individual players, any interaction, do you sense that they view you guys differently as well? Because we remember stories from 14 and 15 where teams were kind of testing the young Royals at that point in time and what they could get away with, if you will. Do you sense that at all going on a road trip or anywhere against your opponents?
Maybe not in terms of testing us, but there are definitely comments about how, you know, people are not necessarily impressed, but maybe a little bit surprised with how good we were with, kind of, you know, people didn't expect us to be where we're at right now. So I think that's really the only thing, but at the end of the day, like, everybody knows that when, you know, 30 teams, right, everybody's good. You're expecting everybody's best every night. So I don't think we've really caught too many players by surprise, because, you know, when it's time to lock in, you know, everybody's doing the same thing.
When he's talking about those young players being tested, I've been kind of rooting for a brawl all year, Vinny. Would you handle yourself in a brawl?
I know you have. I've seen that on
I'm pro brawl.
We haven't really gotten into too many spots. You know, there was one little dust up with Arizona there, but that got handled, I thought, very professionally and very well done by both teams to not let that flare up. You know, there's things that come across every year at some point in time where some, you know, tempers get flared. But, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily good for the game when there's fights on the field. It's not hockey. We're not allowed to do it.
A couple of weeks ago, I've never seen Salvi that mad, though.
Yeah, you mess with Bobby, you're going to get Sal. That's it's pretty simple. That guy's not gonna. I've seen him interact with fans before who that have come after Bobby a little bit. So you come after Bobby, you're gonna get Sal, which I can't imagine is gonna be any fun for anybody.
Thinking of Bobby, the home run the other day, like he had no business hitting that out of the ballpark. Like that's, I mean, you're someone that obviously has hit some home runs to say the least. That what's your reaction when you see Bobby get a pitch out like that?
Well, the first kind of funny thought that goes on in my head is some analytical baseball person is going to knock him for that because he chased. he went out of the strike zone to swing that pitch, so he loses points for that. No, I mean, it's just incredible. Him to be able to do that. And what was even more impressive was the at-bat that he had. I think it was like 7, 8, maybe 9 pitches. And then, you know, he got to a pitch that he liked. And he was able to put it out of the ballpark. It was super impressive. The way that guy conducts his at-bats and the swings he takes is just, you know, he's really second to none, in my opinion, in the league. And it's been a special season for him so far. He's a special player. And, you know, incredible.
Vinny, I know next Monday you guys will be back at home. We're going to have fan day at the K. If you didn't know, we're now on the FM signal. We're 96.5 The Fan. We are no longer our former selves. We're on the FM dial, as are the games on the radio for the Royals. But I'm racing the Hot Dog Derby for the third straight year. I'll be honest with you, Vinny, I've lost 2 straight times. You watch the Hot Dog Derby more than most people being in the building. Do you have any advice?
Yeah, try not to fall down would be my first piece of advice. There's a lot of people who get out of the race is hot, and then they fall down, and it's hard to win when you fall down. Stay on your feet, run a smooth race, you know, just stay on your feet, have a good pace, and just trust yourself that you're going to get there.
I decided to retire, Vinny. I won a minor league condiment race as a potato once, and then I won as ketchup last year, so I'm out. And now Cody's switching to ketchup this year.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's a good move by you. Really just set the tone that you're a winner, and that's it. You win.
If last year I bailed because I thought I was going to run into the dugout. If I get too close, will you tell me?
No, I will not. You're on your own. You're on your own. I will be there watching. I hope they let you race Bobby too on the outfield, because you would have
no chance.
I figured if they let us do it, they would also crank it up even more than normal just to really embarrass us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I hope they do.
We'll be out there Monday. Appreciate it. Good to have you on the show, man. And best of luck the rest of the way. And I know, as you mentioned, it's fun. People, fans living and dying by every game. And it's great to have that again in Kansas City. So appreciate it.
Yep, no doubt. Thanks, guys.
There you go. That's Vinny Pasquantino, Royals first baseman. And once the baseball season's over, which is hopefully very deep in October, we'll have our VNFL insider back talking some NFL as well. But I like having him on talking baseball. Same. Way better, honestly. You know, in August, let's be honest, last year, we weren't able to do that.
Unfortunately, because of the injury, we got Vinny's VNFL insider week one last year. I'd much rather be like, well, it's week 9, and now our VNFL insider is ready to join us, Vinny Pasquantino. Fine by me. I hope it's the final game of the last bit of the season. I think I learned from Michael Massey. We had asked him, because we know as many of the Royals players are, they're all either engaged or already married in the last like calendar year. Michael Massey's wedding is scheduled like 2 days after the final game of the World Series. He's like, I won't care. I won't care about how tight of a turnaround that is I've got to do that. It's like inside of a week of the end of the World Series game. I'm like, look, you schedule for after the World Series. Smart plan.
He said, if they win, he's like, everybody's invited. He said, everybody's invited.
Everyone's
if that happens.
Invited.
Yeah.
That means you and me.
That's right. That's
even so to be clear, if the Royals win the World Series, I both have to get Vinny saying, who gives an S, we're winning games, tattooed on my body. Mm-hmm. But I also get an invite to Michael Massey's wedding.
That's what I'm holding everybody to.
Not bad.
Everybody involved here. I'm holding everybody to their word.
You want to see me get a tattoo and go to Michael Massey's wedding.
Right. That's right.
Will you figure out a way to get there on 2 days' notice?
We'll figure it out.
Maybe bring the wife.
Next time we have Vinny on, we'll have to ask him, because, again, we've got he paid off his Jets bet with us.
Forgot to give him credit for that.
I realized that right as we hung up. In a couple weeks, we've got the Crown Club tickets, thanks to Vinny. He paid off his bet, and we'll be sitting Crown Club for that Guardian series. I'm excited about that, I'll be honest.
Yes. Obviously, that's a massive series, and you and I have got to be wearing, I don't know, either the boys are playing some ball shirt, the Vinny shirts.
I'll be wearing a 96.5 The Fan t-shirt.
I have a 96.5
The Fan t-shirt. We'll have one by then. We'll make one if we don't have one. That's what I'll be rocking. for that game.
Quick question before we go to break. Do you think somebody at the K would let me in to get some practice runs in the uniform?
You don't practice for a hot dog dirt practice.
I'm trying to win.
You don't need
Maybe normally you don't practice
Cody,
for hot dog derby. I'm sick of losing.
You want them to let you practice running in a hot dog costume?
Correct.
Nick didn't have to do that and he won. I didn't have to do that and I won.
Well, I've lost 2 times in a row. I might have to.
If you didn't pull up because you thought you were going to run into the dugout, you would have won last year. You would have won the race.
Don't give him that.
I got scared.
You would have won the race.
Don't get scared.
I'm running fearless this year.
Do it. And look, if you actually run.
I don't let you drink before. I drink, I get some liquid courage.
Good luck, because if you go on full send, I'm just.
Full send? I might fall. Worth it. Worth it. I'm risking falling this year for full speed.
I don't doubt that, actually.
All
right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour here on 96.5 The Fan. There's a report out there about the impact one certain person is having on the NFL, and I think you guys will like it. Next.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fan, welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Ryder coming up in an hour and a half, 1 o'clock hour today. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, going to join us in studio.
Mortal enemy of mine until Monday night.
That's right. Yeah, you guys are running in the hot dog derby. We also will determine the new name for the 1 o'clock hour on Fridays. Club 610 is no more.
The sign's still behind me, though.
The sign is still behind you. The three finalists. Can we fill people in on what we think are the three finalists here and then go from there? So one of the finalists, it's right there. So many of you suggested it anyway.
It's the layup.
It's the fan club.
Yeah. That is certainly...
That's one finalist.
That is one finalist. They have not eliminated, as a finalist, per my earlier suggestion, the buzz.
That is still there.
So that's still in the mix. We have not ruled out... calling it the buzz, because we're drinking.
Yes, thank you.
Because we're drinking.
Yes.
We could get a buzz going.
The fact that you needed to explain
does make
it,
a
I don't
lot
know
of sense.
I'm just trying to think of flow on that one, because I get the logic behind
but
it.
But you want to say, like, coming up on Club 610, you want to say...
Coming up on the buzz?
I think you have to say coming up in the buzz. I think you're going to change the word in the buzz.
Yeah, he's going to join us in
or
the buzz. Buzzed.
Club buzzed?
I like that as much.
And then it's the third finalist, do we have a...
Is that just the third? Was there a third?
It was just going to be the...
Club 965.
Just the same thing.
That was the
thing,
other one we were determined. Yeah. Club 965. Yeah. So we'd love your votes, 913-586-7610, or just let us know on social media. So hit us up at TheFan965. We want to know which one you want. Club 965, The Buzz, or The Fan Club. I feel like those are good choices. But at 1 o'clock today, Club 610 is dead. So we have to make decisions on moving forward, because I'd still like to order a neon sign for the new one. Maybe some. I kind of want to kick it up a notch. I mean, if we're rebranding, I feel like we gotta bring it up a little bit. The whole thing.
And next Friday, whatever we name this thing in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll be on the road. We'll
in
be
Vegas.
In Vegas.
And the last time we went to Vegas, I brought the sign.
Yes.
So, I'm not opposed to bringing this show on the road. I'm sure we can get a drink in Vegas.
I guess there's one question, because I haven't quite yet prepared this, but are you wanting the old? Are you wanting
new
the Club 610 music for the final time? Yeah. You want new music today?
New music.
Yeah,
new today.
New club today. Music.
Yeah, right. Some new music. It's time to switch it up anyway, and today's a good day for that. So looking forward to Nate Taylor joining us in a little bit. Thinking of music and clubs and fun, pop culture, all kinds of stuff. This was probably not a surprise with the increase that one celebrity has cause for the NFL. We knew it was going on. We just didn't have the numbers. And boy, oh boy, is this only going to prompt more conspiracy theories, Cody. This is a report on the Taylor Swift effect from the Chiefs and the NFL.
And Kansas City Chiefs CEO Clark Hunt says the Taylor Swift craze helped fuel a 30% increase in the team's fan base amid its Super Bowl winning season. Swift began dating Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce last year and made frequent appearances at the games. Hunt said her impact stunned the league, which confirmed that 30% metric without disclosing how exactly it measured the fan base.
30%, man.
Do you know how popular the NFL already was? Do you know how hard it is to increase anything the NFL does by 30% in popularity or viewership?
30% increase because of Taylor Swift. We saw it playing out. And as they said, like, I don't know how they actually determine that, but a combination of merchandise sales, TV ratings, all kinds of things like that. This is only going to fuel, though, the conspiracy theories. That's the only part I hate about this.
Oh, that they're doing it for... You know, they're making the Chiefs win for Taylor Swift?
Be ready. It's already happened. The NFL wants
tomorrow
the Chiefs to win.
First take.
The minute the league confirms eventually that Rashee Rice is not getting suspended this year and it's not going to happen until next year, the minute that actually is official, you will, I guarantee you, whether it's national personalities or at least fan bases in other cities like Cincy or Baltimore or Buffalo, they will claim the NFL not only wants the Chiefs to three-peat, but they want to keep the Taylor Swift effect going, and that's why Rice is not getting suspended. That will be a take from somebody in a different market. I can almost guarantee you.
We can play it as soon as it's on First Things First or whatever. I'm not, you know, like, not necessarily that show. One of the debate-style shows on one of the major networks is where it feels like it'll be uttered by like a Bart Scott type. You gotta
be like seventh on the list.
You can't be the main guy who utters that take. You gotta be the guest host for a day pops in guy.
Him and Han went to like ESPN Radio New York in particular. So they left the ESPN side, but I think that they still appear every now and then. Bart at least does.
So you know, whatever that level is where that take is coming from. This is a stunning number. Like, the NFL had to be blown away by the fact that when they shook the trees on this, they found out that there was a 30% increase in fan interest. It is really hard to put in perspective, for it is already the most popular sport. Every year, they put out the 50 most watched TV programs in the United States this year, and 48 of the 50 are always NFL football games.
Right.
Sometimes regular season NFL football games. There is no amount of NFL people will not consume. And so for that to have that market interest is insane. Travis Kelce is still living an absolutely ludicrous life. I just look back and I'm like, jet setting, dating the most famous person on the planet, super rich, have the most popular podcast. He's better at like radio essentially than us already.
Nobody has it better than Travis Kelce. I'm sorry. Nobody does.
It's going to, yeah. The
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, the entire conversation is going to turn into, like, it might even go down to there's a pass interference called on Travis Kelce, and it's a little iffy. It's like, I don't know. They're going to show Taylor Swift up there yelling and everything, and it's just going to drive people up a wall.
Yeah, and Mike Tirico will say, Travis just got to shake that one off. Yeah, we'll have all kinds of stuff still.
That's what Collinsworth is going to say.
That's true. That's more Collinsworth.
There is an actual tangible thing. This is there's an actual impact that helps the Chiefs with this. You ready for this? Because Taylor Swift increases 30% for league-wide. Got it even better for the Chiefs, which means more money for the Chiefs, which means more cash on hand for Clark Hunt, which means bigger contracts. I'm not even kidding. There's an actual tangible effect that helps the Chiefs win football games by having Taylor Swift reform.
That does make it more gross.
The downside to... you not hate true. It,
I'm just saying.
The Mr. Downside Cincinnati over
for,
there.
The downside of this is, does. If there is ever a breakup, we are in bad news. Bad news.
I was going to say that, but I didn't want
now,
to.
Now, I think they're getting married and falling in love and having babies.
Why are you
so,
even putting it out there?
I think it's going the other way.
You're already putting that out there.
I'm not putting it out there. I was just showing you the other side.
You just did.
I'm telling you, I think that they get married and have kids.
But you put it in.
I think this show should do one of those, like, pick a date, and you tell us the date. Anytime in the next 3 years you think they get engaged, and you can win a prize from Cody and Gold if you correctly choose the date that they get engaged.
I don't think you have to even go out to 3-year window for just engagement.
I think it's inside a year.
I agree.
You're right, though. You are technically correct, though, Cody, that if for whatever reason it doesn't last, that 30% is not just going to... They might not only not care about the Chiefs, they might root for other teams because they're already invested in the NFL a little bit.
Late qualifier, by the way, for the Club 610 rename. The one I had forgotten about in the final three. Are we still completely down to Club Fantastic?
I'll vote yes on that one. Yes, we are good for that. I will say we need to keep that as the name.
You want Club Fantastic in the mix for the final three?
Yeah, let's do it.
What are we eliminating? Club 965, I was never in love with that one anyway.
Yeah, you didn't like that one. I'm not as big of a fan as The Buzz.
The Buzz,
so.
I don't...
So which one are we eliminating to bring in Club Fantastic?
If we're going to eliminate that, then I think we need to eliminate The Buzz, and therefore we're down to Club Fantastic or The Fan Club.
Hmm. Will you let me keep The Buzz as a possible name for other things?
Sure, why not?
Like, let's say instead of, like, say we're going to rename What's Trending, and instead we're like, hey, it's The Buzz.
You're dead set on this.
Pretty dead set. Not like on this. I want to leave that open as a possibility. I'm saying don't eliminate it for life, but I'll take it out of the running for the name of Club 610. How about that? Okay. I reserve the right to bring it back up at a different time.
Sure. Oh, you can bring, hey, this is,
but I'll, anybody but I'll leave can it back open.
All of us can bring up whatever we want. That's fine. Yeah.
We are not, along with the Taylor Swift thing real quick. Are we going to continue to get the, like, how many shots do you think we get? Like when Taylor Swift's at the game, how many,
who cares?
Cuts?
As many as they want. I don't care.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me.
I don't know why that bugs people. Would you rather see Jerry Jones stuffing his face with food? I mean, I
know
I'm good. I don't care how many times they shoot. That was the weirdest thing. That was the weirdest thing last year that really irritated people. One, she was on the screen for 2 seconds and she didn't ask for it. They decided the TV networks, because of the interest, we're doing it. It was
30%.
So yeah, that whole thing, I'm sure they'll still do it, as it makes a lot of sense. I would also imagine she probably would prefer them not to show her also, you know, like, yeah. People attacking her for that was so silly.
All right. So we're down to two: Club Fantastic or the Fan Club.
Okay.
Those are your choices.
That works.
Please vote 913-586-7965. And then, or you can hit us up on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. You can find us on all of our social channels. What's that?
I think I know which one's going to win. It's going to be Club Fantastic.
You think so?
Yes.
That looks good in neon. Club Fantastic does look good in neon. That's inarguable.
I'm fine with it. Club Fantastic seems like
it plays into the show and what's happened over the last.
It does.
Year.
It also, if I just told you in general, hey, we're going to Vegas. We're going to Club Fantastic. You would either think it is definitely a techno club, or you would think it's a strip club.
Yes, it's one of the two.
Club Fantastic sounds like a strip club.
And not like the best one. Like the not S tier, like, you know, like the one you're going to if you're trying to save a few bucks to get in.
How would you know? You haven't paid off your bet to go for the first time.
Because I know at least the Vegas named ones, you know, the ones like everybody's mentioned over the course of years.
Like what?
On a show. I'm trying to think, what's the one in
Spearmint Rhino?
Yeah, that's probably, they've got like obscure names. Are there other ones that I should know besides that one? That one's the immediate one, I think.
I mean, there's other ones, but.
Have you been to that one?
Once.
Oh.
You still haven't paid off your bet.
I have not. We'll be in Vegas next week.
We are in Vegas next week. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football, though, because there is a preseason game tomorrow. And the competition really turned out to not be a competition at left tackle. This is Kingsley Suamataia's job at left tackle. It was very clear day one of training camp. And that ended up not being the conversation point we thought throughout camp. But what is the expectation for him? He's starting week one. He's going to be the starter all year, assuming he's healthy. What's the level of play you're expecting? We all hope they suddenly got, you know, top 10 play, but what are you actually okay with? Because I would lock in middle of the road, 15th best left tackle in football for this year. Now, long-term, do I expect more from that from a top pick, first-round pick? Or I guess he ended up being a second-round pick. A lot of people thought he was a first-round pick. Sure. But year one, if he's the 15th best left tackle, that is totally fine. That's a big win, Cody.
I mean, that's what you got last year. I don't know how you wouldn't lock that in. I'm honest to God, I might lock that in for his career. And that's not a knock. It's because he was taken at pick 63. If you're telling me I'm getting league average left tackle play for 4 years at pick, I think it was like right around there, in the 60s? Starter, he's a starter, so just immediate, that's working it in the 60s for a pick. And he's a quality starter, as in he's about as good as most of the guys who are in the league. I might sign up for that for 2 or 3 years. For this year, I'd lock it down immediately. You'd always ask for improvement or hope that they improve down the road, but it's pretty hard to make the argument for not locking in for that. Isn't that pretty much what they got out of Donovan Smith? They didn't get top 10 left tackle play out of Donovan Smith last year. They got league average left tackle play out of Donovan Smith.
But that was the ceiling for him because he's a vet. Whereas at least with Kingsley, if he's league average this year at left tackle, there's room for improvement. The athleticism is all there. You would like to think that this offensive line coaching staff and having a vet like Joe Tooney to his right at left guard will be able to have progression throughout the season. I would lock in 15th, but I don't think that's his ceiling at all. I think he can end up being better than that. I'm not saying he's going to be an all pro left tackle in his career by any means, but
he could be. We don't know.
Right. The ceiling, though, that is the ceiling.
Yeah.
I think 15th in the league this year, you should lock that in right now if you could, because that's by far good enough. Look at Donovan Smith. They won the Super Bowl with Donovan Smith at left tackle a year ago. They had a 4-game stretch where Wanya Morris was starting at left tackle, and they made it through that as well.
That's why. Again, I'd take it for 4 years. I know that sounds like I'm selling him short. it's not as much I'm selling him short or don't believe him as I know that's good enough. Like, for the Chiefs to win and for the Chiefs to be consistently successful, just as long as the interior of the offensive line is close to what we're getting now, and I think they'll sign Creed at least. Well, I guess I kind of thought that happened by now.
We thought, this week.
I kind of thought that would happen this week. Maybe post the game. I kind of thought we'd get that announcement by now. Either way.
So you're willing to lock in 15th for his whole career. I wouldn't lock that in the whole career. I want better than that for across a four-year stretch. For this year, though, absolutely.
I just wonder whether or not, and I know that there'd be, the only problem with locking it in for 4 years is, at the end of those 4 years, they're going to be looking for a new left tackle again. And I know you've stated, long-term left tackle play, I think you really just mean, I want a second contract. I don't think you're looking for the guy to do the job for the next 15 years. I think long-term left tackle play at this point for the Chiefs would be 4 years.
Right.
If I could get 4 years of a left tackle, that's more than I've gotten over the last five left tackles.
I agree. And also, we've brought this up when we have had this conversation about the left tackle position long-term. In the NFL, there are not many left tackles that got second or third contracts. There's just not a ton or playing at a high, high level. Trent Williams is one of the best to do it ever.
He's holding out
ever. Still. Right. And yeah, they'll get it. He'll end up playing week one, I think, out in San Francisco. But he's a Hall of Fame left tackle. So that's different. But if you look roster by roster, I would love to know how many left tackles have started for, let's say, 5+ years with the same team. I bet you it's not a long list.
No, probably not. Well, I don't know. It's maybe more than you think because they don't let those guys go very often. Like, if you get Tristan Wirfs, he doesn't leave. You get Trent Williams,
but Tristan Trent Williams is an all-time great. Tristan Wirfs, a top five left tackle in football. So once you're out of the top five category, that's what I'm saying. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, it's
once
probably
you're out of that
not
top five frame. You know, like Orlando Brown's been on three teams.
Yeah, and I don't think he's a top five left tackle,
he's a top 15, top 12 tackle in football.
He's the 10th best left tackle, and the 10th best left tackle will keep you employed for a very long time.
I mean, the Bills, their left tackle, I don't know what his name is. Have they had the same left tackle every year that Josh Allen's been the starter? I doubt it.
But the Chiefs have done it a little bit more than most. Like, if it's Trent Williams or Penei Sewell or those guys we're talking about, yeah, they're never leaving their team.
Deion Dawkins for the Bills. Maybe he's been there a little while. I'm trying to remember exactly how many
years. Does Sewell even play left?
I think
he plays right, doesn't he?
Maybe he does play. Maybe he's just, yeah. And anymore in the NFL, you know this, they kind of treat him the same.
Yeah.
Like they don't, it's the gapping is not the same as it used to be from that. Or Jordan Mailata, who just got a contract. Maybe he's the argument. Maybe Mailata, he ranked better than that. Maybe he's like the 7th best tackle. I don't know. But I mean, for the most part, you wouldn't have to pay him top end if he was a good enough left tackle. It's why I'd be tempted to do it. But yeah, for this year, Gold, I think we're at least on the same board for that. They told me he was a league average left tackle. I'd take it immediately. I wouldn't even hesitate to take it. Patrick Mahomes will mitigate half of the sacks that he'd probably let up in that scenario, and the interior offensive line will cover him for another 25%. So I'm only going to have to worry about the consistency of his play 25% of the time.
Deion Dawkins, he's one of those guys that has started six straight years at left tackle for the Buffalo Bills. So he would go against my theory. He's one of those guys that has been consistent at the left tackle spot. Text line 913-586-7965 here on 96.5 The Fan. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Someone said there's a new Colts fan video song.
Oh, my goodness.
That is not allowed. In fairness to Cody, if we can't play his, we're not playing that one.
Why can't we play my song today? We didn't discuss it.
Next week.
Wait, who said next week? He didn't say that.
Next week, yeah.
Do we even play the...
So we're not playing the Colts one. If we're not playing Cody's, we're not playing
Colts. We played the first one.
We played a snippet of it.
We didn't play the whole thing.
What was that, Monday?
No song airs on this station until we're going to come back dry from
next week. I think next week, your song, whether it's when we're in Vegas or it's earlier in the week, next week's the week for that.
I think Monday.
You should perform it live in Vegas.
There you go.
This is what you should do.
Live? But I haven't even played the recorded version yet.
You can
open up for Carrie Underwood next week.
There you go.
Or Adele.
You get me on stage.
Adele, actually.
Coliseum. Crumble under that pressure. If you put me in front of fans like that, I'd die. Wouldn't make it. And it'd have to be a song I'm much more comfortable with than this one.
Pasquantino.
Pasquantino's the one I've probably sung live the most now at this point.
Yeah, we'll get Cody to at Hawkeson or whatever the nightclub. You can
Pasquantino.
Seems like Pasquantino territory for you.
Mm-hmm. I better bring the right set of clothes for that. You know, I got to bring club clothes for Hawkins. I can't just roll up in whatever I'm wearing on the show.
Well,
I can't wear a 96.5 The Fan.
People are asking why we're in Vegas next week. So you've probably heard us talking about it on commercials or whatever. So Circa Circus Sports has their big ultimate contest weekend. So if you're looking for survivor contests, you're looking for spread contest season long, there's no better contest in the world than the one that's going on at Circus. So you have till September 7th to sign up, but we're going for their contest weekend, past winners. It's going to be, it's kind of a big party weekend, but anybody can go out there and sign up for these contests. And Circa is our favorite place to stay in Vegas. Stadium swim. The club is unbelievable.
And it's supposed to be hot, so now we get to enjoy the pool.
Yeah, we can't wait. We're excited to head out there. We're also, I mean, we've teased it a little bit. We're going to be back out there in October as well, and we're inviting you to all join us in October when the Chiefs take on the Raiders. We're going to be at Circa that Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And we'll have a fan watch party that Friday night.
Yeah, we're just going to have a party. I guess it wouldn't be a watch party, but we're going to have a party leading up to the game. So that's what we got planned in Vegas over the next couple months. Four trips in 1 year to Vegas.
For you. Just three for me. A totally normal amount. Yeah, you went another time. Four times. Is that a new record for you? Your sister lived in Vegas. Did you ever go four times?
Four times in Vegas in 1 year is a new record. I don't know if I'll ever get to that level again. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
What happened was one trip was already planned, and then the Chiefs decided to go to the Super Bowl as well, and so it became two.
And then Circa was like, you guys want to come hang out and party? And we're like, yeah, that sounds cool.
This is three, and then four. In October is going to be an ultimate party for Chiefs fans, so we're excited. More details in about a week or so on that October party.
Just as soon as we're done being in Vegas for this first time. It's going to be a great time. We really look forward to it. So sorry, we're not playing any Colts fan video.
No, in fairness, until my song plays. I'll at least back you up on that one. Like, that can't happen if we're not doing your song. All right, up next, we're going to get to what's trending here on 96.5 The Fan, and one player that shouldn't play all that much tomorrow, plus all 32 here on the show.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.